And now to Texas, where the cities of Odessa and Midland are reeling after a gunman drove through both on Saturday, killing 7 people, injuring over 20. Marfa Public Radio's Carlos Morales is here. And Carlos, we spoke to you during the El Paso shooting. Now, this one, terrible stories. We know the shooter was pulled over by police for failing to signal. He fired on them. A young woman on the phone with her sister heard her sister scream as the shooter killed her and then took her truck. Talk about how this was different than a shooting that happens in one space. People didn't know where the shooter was going next.
That's right. I think for a lot of the people in Odessa, they heard ambulances, ringing out through, and they didn't know where the person would be or where the shots were coming from. The gunman was in one vehicle, and as you mentioned, he hijacked a United States Postal Service mail carrier van. And then so people thought there were multiple shooters at one point, which, you know, police have cleared up that there is just the one gunman. And people didn't know where he was going to be. You know, you had people that were shot while waiting at a stoplight, others whose cars were struck that were parked in kind of like a shopping center where there's a Walmart, Home Depot, and just kind of other places that you would go to on, you know, any given Saturday to kind of do your shopping and all that.
We are not naming the gunman, but we know others are speaking of him, including a neighbor who said that she called police because he would sit on his roof and shoot at her pets in her backyard. Apparently, the police couldn't find her address on GPS. But the point is that people knew things about him that might have raised alarms. What else do we know about him?
Well, he's 36 years old. He was a white male. And just last night, the New York Times reported that the shooting began hours after he was fired from his trucking job, born in Texas. Haven't heard much else as far as kind of alarms that might have been raised beforehand, but we know those details at the moment.
Yeah. What are people there doing now? We know there was a 17-month-old toddler who underwent surgery for wounds to her mouth. Her teeth were shot out, but we understand she's home playing with her twin, Grace, there. But what else do we know about how severely wounded others are, and how are, you know, people starting, though in shock, we understand they're starting to mourn.
Yeah, they are starting to mourn. Just last night, just over a day after, you know, this terrible tragedy unfolded in our West Texas community, people came together at a local university for a prayer vigil, and it was an hour of prayer, of people just coming together and really, you know, in the open, just grieving. And I think for a lot of the people that were there, it was really a first step toward healing, toward that process of finding that sense of normalcy. There were several people there who spoke to our reporter on the ground at the vigil, and they told him that following the shooting, they did not want to leave their house. They were scared and terrified to go outdoors. But when they heard about the vigil, they knew they had to be there. And that's what started to bring people out. So I think last night at this vigil, it really was a space for people of the Permian Basin, of both Odessa and Midland, these sister cities that are about a 15-minute drive from each other, to come together and really unite and begin the healing process.
That's why you're seeing the T-shirts, Permian Basin Strong. Mm-hmm. But this shooting comes after the, you know, one in El Paso, 22 people killed there. Texas is loosening some gun restrictions, you know, as this is happening. And your governor, Greg Abbott, made an impassioned plea at a press conference saying something has to be done. Yet others are pointing out in 2015, when reports showed that California passed Texas in gun purchases, he tweeted out something to Texas residents to the effect of, hey, let's take back our lead. You know, I'm paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. So people are pointing fingers at him. This is a gun state, and yet nobody was able to stop this shooter until the police rammed him with a special car. You know, what is the gun conversation around this?
Well, you know, at the beginning of our conversation, we talked about El Paso. And following the tragedy in El Paso at that Walmart, a lot of the El Paso Democratic delegation, the state lawmakers, they came together and they were really urging Texas Governor Greg Abbott to push for a special session to bring lawmakers back to the state capitol and figure out a solution to gun violence in the state. At that time, Abbott, you know, told press and those elected officials that were kind of imploring him to make this move, he told them that there wasn't a need for a special session to do this. And what he did was he followed through with a series of roundtable discussions, which are happening across the state. Just one, oh, maybe a week ago, or just actually maybe this past Friday in El Paso, to have these conversations about what can be done. I'll be interested to see now what happens given this weekend's shooting. I think the pressure is going to be on to call for a special session. And I think some of the state lawmakers that represent Odessa and Midland think it could be a possibility.
Marfa Public Radio's Carlos Morales, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.